There's a lot going on. We are going to do some recognition at the end of this service. I'm going to share something about that. Why we calling this celebration Thanksgiving in July is because our VBS ended right on Father's Day, when we would normally do a little bit of this. We're not able to do it. So we're talking today about that, a little bit about Thanksgiving. Let's pray, though, before we go any farther. Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful for a place that we can meet, the freedom we have to do it, for your word that's true. We just ask your blessings upon what we do today. Remind us. Help us examine why we do what we do, and help us correct our attitude if it needs to be corrected. But Father, we're just grateful for all you've done with us and for us and through us these years at Harmony, for your glory. Bless this time today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In several places, Paul talks about it. We're going to look at mainly one verse and a few verses about Thanksgiving, about us giving thanks. Sometimes it's a little bit misunderstood the way he writes this in Philippians, but we're just talking about that a little bit. And I'm going to do a little bit of a back history on our church. Who in here today was with us when we started Harmony? Would you stand up? Just stand up. Okay. A few couples in here when we started Harmony. How many years ago was that? 17, 18, when is 2005? How long is that? 19. Okay, we'll celebrate 19 years. John B. Sidney, thank you. Yay, whoever's clapping. So we're going to look at a couple things as we go back to that, and just because, you know, let me read the verses first when we get to it. Giving thanks, you know, that's what we're talking about. In 1 Thessalonians, we know these verses. It says, rejoice. When? Always. When things are going well, when you're bearing your children, when you lose your job, when the life is falling apart, it says rejoice. Always. Doesn't qualify it. And a lot of times, that's not the way we operate. Pray without ceasing. In everything. How about that? Everything. In everything. Give thanks. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. It's our job to give thanks. You know, a lot of times when we pray, the only thing we do is ask for something. We're going to see a couple of verses in Leviticus chapter 7 where it talks about, you know, they had all these sacrifices they offered because they realized they were sinners, but there was also a peace and a thanksgiving offering. Why? They needed to be reminded, they need to thank God for what God had done. Same thing with us. Romans 1 says, because that knowing God, that they glorified him not as God. Look at this next line. And neither did they give thanks. When you fail to be grateful, man, everything falls apart. And it was because of that. And boy, when you go ahead and see the list of the sins that came behind that, and part of it was they wouldn't give thanks. They were not grateful. You know, a lot of people are not grateful because they feel entitled. Well, I should get it. Why? You know, why do we think we should have anything? And their senseless heart was darkened. Why? Because they take things for granted. They're not grateful. That's the opposite of that. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice system, you know, there were sin offerings. And they would have to, if you sinned that day, whatever the sin was, there was a prescribed offering that you had to do that day. If you did that same sin or another sin tomorrow, you had to do it again tomorrow. It was constant. You didn't just go offer one sacrifice. They did it for the nation of Israel once a year, but individually, it was always there. And it was a constant reminder that they were sinners. And they had to do something that God had prescribed so that they could be forgiven. It was constant, always. Man, I'm glad I wasn't a priest. Do you ever stop to think about that? If we still lived under that, you would have to bring an animal. They'd have to kill it in front of you. And if I was a priest, I had to handle all that blood and stuff. That would get pretty old, you know. It would. And it's a constant reminder of their ongoing need to forgiveness. If you sin that way tomorrow and you really want to be right with God, you got to go make another sacrifice. Why? Because you're a sinner. That's what it was for. It was an ongoing thing that they had to deal with constantly. That's exactly what it was. The ongoing need for righteousness. In order to be right with God, they had to do this. And that's exactly what God did it for. I want to remind you, this is who you are, and this is what I demand. So he set it up for a constant reminder that you're in trouble and you need me. That's exactly what he does. Every time they brought a sin offering, and they constantly had to do it. If you really were responsible and you sinned, again, whatever that sin was, there was a prescription for it. Some sins demanded smaller sacrifices. The big sins demanded big sacrifices, you know, a bull, a cow, you know, whatever the sin was, and God prescribed it. Now, they were reminded of how they were and how they desperately needed God. You know, unfortunately, we've lost that in the Western culture. We're not that bad. We don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about any consequences. Why? Because, man, God is lucky to have us. Ain't that right? We feel entitled. You know, just because of that. But the Old Testament ceremonial system also included sacrifices, peace offerings, thankful offerings. What? To remind them they need to be thankful. You know, I remember reading years ago a little boy. He went to eat supper with one of his friends, and this little boy was a Christian boy. And he went to eat supper with his friend and their family, and they were not. So when they sat down to eat the supper, man, they just attacked their food. And the little boy just quietly bowed his head and prayed. And the dad and the family said, "Hey, son, does everybody in your family pray before they eat?" He said, "No, sir, the pigs don't." Ingratitude. When's the last time you just, instead of every time we ask, pray, we ask for something. When's the last time we just pray and say, "God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you." You know, I don't have to ask anything. I just want. They were set up to remind them of their sins, but also this, that there were thank offerings. Go back in Leviticus and read the whole thing and look what it says. They were to do this, and it was to remind them, you need to be thankful. Isn't that a shame that we have to be reminded to be thankful? We just take it for granted, you know? And that's exactly what it was set up for. God knew that. He said, you know, you need to be reminded. You need to be thankful. You know, that I will accept you based on a sacrifice that you have to bring. You need to be reminded. They described them. They remind us that they continually need to be thankful for what God has done. That's exactly what it says. And this is the law, Leviticus chapter 7. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which shall offer unto Jehovah. And if he offer for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. He told them exactly what to do. It was to remind them to be thankful. That's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame that we have to set alarms to remind us to do little things, right? We do, don't we? We got alarms on everything to remind us what we need to be doing. And unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour soaked. And the rest of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his oblation. So have you ever really realized that they had a sacrifice to remind them to be thankful? I mean, that's exactly what it is. To be thankful. To be grateful. As Christians, we're not to have a sacrificial system anymore. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice eliminated that because there's once and for all sacrifice. But it should be that same reminder. We should be grateful for the very fact that he died for us, that he was our sacrifice, and that's exactly what it is. So we celebrate the goodness of God toward us. We should do that. Be thankful. And when you're a thankful person, you live differently. When you're grateful, you know, I don't mind helping people that a bit appreciate it. There's a lot of people we try to help, they don't appreciate it. And you know what? I don't help them anymore. Why? Because it gets them in a cycle that they just think they should get it. And if you can't even stop and thank somebody for something, pretty simple. That means you say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, I'm sorry. That's kind of the way it works. Are you thankful when you don't get what you want? What about, are you thankful you don't get what you deserve? What do you deserve? You don't deserve a house. Why do you think you deserve a house? You don't really deserve a job. We don't deserve anything. You know, if we get something, it's just by God's grace. But how about that? Are you thankful when you don't get what you want? Are you thankful when you don't get what you deserve? Do you realize what you deserve? That's what the sacrificial system was for, to show them what they deserved. And God said, you know, I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you an intermediate. I'm giving you a blood sacrifice to take care of that for you. Is it going to click? Jesus himself said, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. Jesus is constantly doing that. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Boy, what an example that he gives us. So when they took away the stone, that's exactly what he does. He said, I knew that you heard me always. Now, I want to hurry and get to the main verse that I want to look at. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. It's been 10 years since the church was born. He's in prison in Rome, so he can't get back there, so he's writing a letter. All right? They were the first church that supported him in the ministry. He leaves, and he's going to the rest of the world to share the gospel, and they support him. So that's the kind of relationship that he has with them, and that's exactly what he's writing to them. You know, when somebody's in jail and don't know if you're going to get out of there alive, sometimes they're more meaningful in the things they say. So that's the context here Paul is writing. He says, I don't know if I'm going to make it out, and we know he lost his head there. 2 Timothy is the last thing that he actually wrote before he was killed. But this is what he says in Philippians chapter 3. He says in chapter 1, verse 3, and now again in chapter 3, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you. And, you know, actually, it's kind of funny in the Greek text how that works. It could go that he's remembering what they did for him, and not only that he's remembering that, but it could be translated that they remember him. It can go both ways. Well, I thank God because I remember what you've done, but I thank God that you remember. Because look at the rest of it. Always and every supplication on my behalf of you, making my supplication with joy. It means I'm praying for you. That's exactly what it means. For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we're coming here, what we're doing here today. You know, every time I think about who we are at Harmony Church and what our philosophy is, then it's been about that. About the furtherance of the gospel. And how we've done things differently, and God's really blessed it. You know, I was confirming a couple of things with Mike this morning, and we've tried to do this just to give us a sense of what we need to be thankful for, and just be thinking about it. I'm going to give you a moment in just a minute. If you'd like to stand up and say, man, I'm just thankful for maybe this person in Harmony that has done this, or the church has done this, I'm going to give you a chance to do that, all right? You know, in the early days when we started, it was only Mike and I that cut the grass. When we bought this other piece of property, and I don't know how far it went. It was probably 5 or 6 years before anyone else helped us cut the grass. So Mike and I cut it. He had cut the front, and I'd cut the back. And then when we got this, Ed Finley would come up and use his tractor and cut over here under the pecan trees. No one's ever been paid for that. I did a little bit of calculation. You know how much money we've saved over that? $100,000. No, just for the grounds. I'm not sure it's 200. Over the period of 17 years, you know, I'm pretty sure anybody that would cut our grass now would charge $500 or $600 a week. You do a little math on that, we ought to be thankful. We have money for the furtherance of the gospel because people are willing to work. I can't call this name because some people would know they hear it on the internet. I know some churches, a fraction of our size, they'll spend more on 1 month in paying for somebody to clean than we will in months. You know, why? For years. A couple of us, during COVID, Dallas and I cleaned the church by ourselves. Nobody else was here. You know, in the early days, there was a couple years I cleaned it by myself. Why? I'm just thankful. Why? Because we have that money for ministry. We don't throw away money. We don't waste money, but our philosophy is not like everybody else's. You know, and just because of that, for your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. I thank God for that. I don't know anywhere else that operates like we operate. You know, I don't. And I know a lot about a lot of things. I mean, where people do and what they have to do, where they have to pay all their band members. We've never paid anybody. Do you know what it would cost if you had to pay each one of these guys for coming here at 7 o'clock in the morning and staying all day on Sunday? You know, and God has blessed that. And that's what it says in Nehemiah. He said what? Even when it came time where they did what? They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other one. It took them 30 days to build a wall back. Why? Because the people were willing to work. I just want to say I'm thankful for you. Every time I think about that, because of your willingness to not demand something, that we've been able to do things for a lot of people. The shoe thing, just look at, do you know how big that is? You know how much money that cost that we're blessing, and we don't know what God, we won't know that till all this is over with one day. We stand before Jesus and he's going to say, oh yeah, you know that pair of shoes you bought? This is what it did. That kind of stuff. He said, for your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. Wow. You know, some people that started with us are not with us anymore for all kind of reasons. That's okay. You know, we don't get mad. I remember one time when I left North Carolina and came to a church in Georgia, and it was in another county from where I was raised, but I was familiar with it a little bit. And a few years prior, there was a church in the nearby town that had kind of sprung up and had taken a lot of the members out of this older church. And one of the questions the pulpit committee asked me said, well, you know, if you're going to be our pastor, how are you going to get those people back? I said, I'm not. They're not my goal. If they're saved and they're serving somewhere, okay. If they come back, okay. That is not my goal. I will never even try to go to them and say, well, you need to come back. If they need to come back, God will bring them back. Maybe they don't need to come back. That's not our philosophy. If people want to come here, we want them to. If they don't want to, no hard feelings. You know, that's not our intention. For the furtherance of the gospel, there's a lot of churches that operate, and that is not their intent. Not the furtherance of the gospel. It's a social club. I thank the Lord that we've never been there. Every now and then it'll creep up, and you just have to say, oh, that's not what we're not about. We're not about that. And some people lose sight. I just want to say how thankful I am to be a part of a church that we don't have excessive rules that hinder the furtherance of the gospel. Again, we try to have people responsible to make these decisions, and we try to watch that. But God's blessed it, and I'm thankful. Because I've been in places before Harmony that wasn't that way. And almost non-existent now in a couple of those places. Why? Because they didn't operate like that. You know, it's just God's blessing upon us. Let's be wise, but I'm thankful. You know, I appreciate you. I clean the bathrooms. I don't take it for granted when somebody comes up here and does that. You know, for a couple of years, every Sunday, I clean it myself. And then someone came up on the scene and said, wait a minute, who's helping? And I said, well, right now, this is happening. So they came in. I won't call their name. And so they really started helping out. And then we got to the place where people were volunteering. I appreciate that. Why? Because I've done it. I'm not better than anybody else. And I'm thankful that is our mentality. But we have to fight it, right? Because all of us want to make up some rules that doesn't get anything done. You know, I'm not OCD, and I like a few rules, but let's don't go overboard, all right? Ain't that right? That's right. That who began a good work in you will perfect it. He said, I'm grateful because God's been doing this already in your life, and he's going to keep on doing it in your life. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. Boy, I'm thankful. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Look what he says. It is no trouble. Now, he's in prison. Doesn't know if he's going to get out. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard to you. He said, pay attention. This is for your own good sake. But let's pay attention. Let's look at what's going on. There are several other instances of joy as a theme in the book. What does he say again in 4? Rejoice in the Lord. When? always. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad when I don't always do that. I don't. I said, this is a bummer. Why has this got to happen this way? I don't always do that. I'm sorry. But it says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. You know, our air conditioner tore up. Thank the Lord we got it fixed. Thank the Lord we did. It didn't cost an arm and a leg because Alan is a good repairman. Now, we don't always do it by the book. But you had to learn it by farming. Sometimes you have to just do a makeshift till you can do something better, right? I just thank the Lord that the whole summer ain't been that way. But I don't always do that. Paul is concerned for the church at Philippi. He's writing to him. He said, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. And that's what this is about. And Debbie and Meredith are going to come up, and they're going to do just a few things. And basically it is, we're just trying to focus right now on today. It was just Thanksgiving for our VBS workers. And nobody else in our association, big or small church, have as many people volunteer for VBS as we do, person per person. They don't. I mean, it's, and a lot of our people are over 50. Hello? How many of us are over 50? Hey. I'm grateful for that. Why? Because God uses that to have a heart to work. And that's exactly what they're going to try to do. And there's quite a few people that do a lot of things that nobody else knows about. That they don't want it to be known. But anytime, you know, you're sitting around and you don't know what to thank God for, just thank God for some of the unknown people that we have in our church that does a lot of things for people in our church that they don't know anything about. And they don't want it to be known, you know. I could list all kinds of things. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is that God is glorified because God changed somebody's heart and they're willing to serve. Giving thanks always for all things.